think of a 13-year-old boy at school.
Oh.
The majority of clips on his laptop would be porn.
Porn is so accessible. It's everywhere.
I was working with young people in schools and community settings, doing sexual violence prevention, sexual diversity and STI prevention work. And I noticed that porn was increasingly playing a role in how young people are learning about and experiencing sexuality.
You explained at the start of your presentation tonight that porn is pretty widespread now. How is that?
Something like 30% of all internet traffic is porn-related. Some 2006 Australian research of 13 to 16-year-olds found that 92% of boys and 61% of girls had been exposed to porn, and that was before the widespread use of smartphones and one-to-one laptop and tablet programs in schools. So it's very widely accepted that those statistics will have gone up since that time. So we're probably reasonably close to saturation point. It's difficult. It's probably more difficult for young people to avoid seeing porn than to see it at some stage.
One of the really interesting parts of your presentation tonight was about your interviewing with some of the members of the porn industry. What did you find in particular from those interviews?
So we interviewed performers, directors, producers, executives and agents in Hungary and in the US. And we talked to them about their experiences, you know, how they got into porn and the kind of material that they make. And I guess one of the most striking things for us, and it was consistent with our reading and research, was that the industry is really candid about the aggressive nature of the material that they make and of the fact that the aggression in porn is often directed towards the female performers, so that in about 94% of incidents of aggression, it's directed towards women, and about 88% of mainstream porn conveys physical aggression.
What sort of message is that sending young people in particular who view porn?
Yeah, I think it's suggesting to young people that sex is aggressive, and that that you know, being aggressive towards women, so gagging, choking, slapping, rough sex in a range of ways is what's sexy, is sort of what's desirable. But it's not clear often that it is aggressive, because the women often, their job is to perform as though they're loving what's happening to them. So they might be gagging on something in their mouth, pretending or saying that they're really liking it. And some of the women that we interviewed in the industry described in some detail the things that they need to do to prepare their bodies and for the kind of sex that's just routine in porn. It's a pretty rough industry on their bodies and on their emotional well-being as well.
Do you think young people can differentiate between the sex that happens in porn to the sex that might happen in real life?
I think that young people understand that porn is make-believe. It's even though the sex is real, that there's something constructed about it. But we've conducted a lot of interviews with young people, and you know, there's been a range of research with young people as well. And young people commonly talk to us about the ways that the porn that they've seen or that their partners have seen or their peers has shaped their sexual practices. So both young men and young women talked about more commonly young men initiating the sort of sex that they'd seen in porn, and young women commonly talked about not wanting to do the kind of sex that their partners had seen in porn, but feeling like they're pressured to, or that they're struggling with how to be generous and accommodating in their sexuality. And so really, I'm not sure that they can differentiate. And I think it's actually asking a lot of them to differentiate. I think part of the nature of porn is that people commonly, particularly men, commonly masturbate to it. And so there's sort of a shaping of sexual taste.
As you said earlier, it's fairly mainstream. Kids can access it on their phones, on their laptops, anywhere they are. I've sensed a bit of fear in the audience tonight in parents as to the exposure of kids to technology at the moment and the fact that it is so widespread, and a feeling of helplessness in being able to control that. Do you think the answer is actually controlling access to the material, or is there another way?
I think it's one of the ways that we need to respond, particularly for younger children. We, you know, parents need to be really aware that it's not just about kids seeking out pornography. They're likely to come across pornography unintentionally through, you know, completely innocent searches for something else. But also I think we need to help them to critique the kinds of messages that porn conveys about women, men and sex, to develop skills, you know, in critical media literacy to understand what the imagery is saying. And we can do this with advertising, with films, with, you know, stories, with books. It doesn't need to be with porn. I'm not suggesting that we do that with porn, but that we develop those skills. And then also to help young people develop skills to respond, so to respond to peer group pressure to consume porn or to respond to a partner's initiation of unwanted sex.
In particular, it would seem that parents are reluctant to even talk to their children about... they don't want to think about their kids having sex, let alone talk about it with them. And vice versa, it might be intimidating for a kid to approach their parent and talk about something that is quite personal like that. Are there other people in a young person's life that can they can have those conversations with and feel safe?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, aunties, uncles, sports coaches, people in schools like school nurses, a trusted teacher, anybody, any adults that young people feel that they can comfortably have the conversation with could be, comfortably have the conversation and whose values they respect, you know, who they see modelling respectful relationships themselves. They can be good places to have those conversations.
Pornography has made a huge difference culturally. It's debunked a lot of myths.
Gavin Roberts from Stratford. The main thing I was concerned about was probably whether there was information that was suitable for parents to show directly to their children that wasn't confronting, because you don't really know the level of maybe pornographic information they've already seen to start a conversation. And doesn't seem to be a lot around yet. It seems to be more shock value to get parents to actually realise that it's a real issue, rather than the information. Once they do realise it's an issue, then there doesn't seem to be probably too much information to then access to do something with.
Is it something as a parent that you found difficult to talk about with your children?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is really difficult. It has been through the ages in our society, probably Western society, we don't talk about it a lot. But I really feel that people would talk about it more if sort of the resources were sort of aimed to what parents, and parents wanted the resources as well. A lot of parents don't believe it's a problem still, and I think that's what is trying to be addressed by tonight.
I'm Bianca Aditi and I work at Relationships Australia Victoria. I asked about resources for women or people with disabilities and being able to, I guess, get the message across to them around porn and the reality within porn, yeah.
Do you work with people with a disability on this?
Yes, we do. We run a women's group, teaching them about healthy relationships and looking after themselves, and protecting themselves, yeah.
What are some of the problems that you've seen so far in that group?
It's the understanding the concept of what a relationship is, when it becomes more of an intimate relationship, and understanding what is okay and what's not okay in a relationship, yeah.
How is porn influencing this?
Well, I guess it's, again, what has been brought up today is how easily accessible it is, and women with intellectual disabilities are just influenced by social media, computers, etc., as any other person. And so I guess my concern is that what they're seeing do they have a concept of what is real and what is not real in porn, and if the images are quite highly violent and rough and aggressive, do they see that as normal part of a healthy relationship? So I guess that's my concern, yeah.